Today's Shir Masechta Becharos Daf Nun Beis. We begin in Daf Nun Aleph from the Beis at the Mishnah at the bottom of the Amid. The Mishnah, the primary issue of our Shir today is we all know that the Torah says the Bechor gets a double portion. Just to explain what that means in the simplest fashion is that if a father passes away and he had two sons, and one was a Bechor and one wasn't a Bechor, so instead of the estate being divided in two, it's divided in three, with the Bechor getting two portions and the other son getting one portion. As Rav Shlomo Kluger says a very nice fart, he says, the Pasuk in Parashat Shemini says, V'idaba Hashem al Aaron v'albonav ha'naisarim. Hashem spoke to Aaron and his remaining children, not of an interview we know, passed away. And Rav Shlomo Kluger asks that the word Noisarim is only used when there's a minority. Here, Aaron started with four. Two indeed unfortunately died, but two are left. So why does the Torah use the word Noisarim? So he says, because the truth is Aaron is not to be looked at as if he had four children. Since Nadav was a Bechor, it's as if he had five children. And then when you only have two left, you have Noisarim left. So Bechor Noitel Pnishayim, he gets a double portion. Only in the father's state, that means if a son yarshins a mother, he doesn't get a double portion. That means if after the death of the father, there's an improvement to the property, he doesn't get a double share in that. Again, to explain the case, given the example that we used, two sons, and the father passed away, and before they could actually divide up the Yerusha, we look at it, this Yerusha, as it's divided in three, as I said at the beginning of our shir. So the portion that belongs to one brother, fine. The portion that belongs to the other, to the Bechor, fine. And that extra portion that the Bechor is now getting, any improvement to that portion is divided between him and his brother. V'loy b'roy k'b'mukhsak, which is going to be a big part of today's shir, that the only assets that the Bechor is entitled in a double portion is our assets that are there at the time of death. Assets that are still to come are not considered assets that he gets a double portion. So it's the best example of something that he doesn't get a double portion in is, let's say somebody owed the father money. And he didn't collect that money when he died. And it's going to be paid. That money is called Roy and not Muchzik. And the Bechor doesn't get Pishnayim in that money. The Paiskim all discuss at great length what is and what isn't included. For example, the Paiskim say, let's say somebody had stolen something from the father and did not return it before the father passed away. That's called Muchzik, because you have to return what you stole. Interesting shail that I saw that the Beis Yitzchak discusses is, let's say the father was a Talmud Chacham, and he left over manuscripts that are going to be printed into Svarim after he passes away, and they'll sell those Svarim. Is that called Roy or Muchzik? So he says that's called Roy, because the Svarim haven't been printed, and no proceeds have been realized from the sale of those Svarim. What he does say is, let's say the Bechor wants to get Pishnayim. So what they can do is divide up the manuscripts. And if they're just dividing the manuscripts, then he could get double share in the manuscripts. But if they're going to not divide up the manuscripts, they're just going to print the manuscripts, Svarim, and going to divide whatever proceeds, he doesn't get Pishnayim. Furthermore, V'loy Isha B'Ksubasa. A wife, we know, is entitled to a Ksuba, does not get a double portion in that payment. Does not get the shvach if the estate went up in value. She doesn't get shvach in order to be able to collect the ksuba. Nor, as we'll see, does she able to collect her ksuba from something that's roi that isn't there when the husband died. And here we have a very fundamental machlokes rishonim, which is a real issue. Let's say a husband passes away, and every husband that passes away, the estate owes the wife a ksuba. payment. But the husband has all of his money tied up in loans that are owed to him. And we just said a moment ago that when it comes to Bechor, money that the estate gets as a payment of loans is certainly called Roy. So will this woman whose husband's estate is all tied up in money owed to it not going to get a ksuba payment? It's Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim say, yeah, the Mishnah is teaching us, he doesn't get Beroi. Other Rishonim say that when it comes to Ksubas Isha, Chazal strengthened the power of a Ksubas Isha, that even though Halva, we said, is considered Roi, she could collect from monies that are paid to the state. But then, there's another interesting question. The Gemara, in Masechta Ksubas, says that a woman is only entitled to collect her ksuba from real estate, not from a tatlan. But Tosfos quotes a takonas hagoinim that Chazal, that the goinim already established that a woman could collect her ksuba from a tatlan. And the question is, according to the Rishonim, that a woman can't collect her ksuba from a halva, will they agree that after the takanas hagoinim was put in place, then at least you could collect the ksuba from a halva, just like Chazal said you could collect from just like the goinim said you could collect from a taplin? What does the question depend on? It really depends on why did the goinim make this takana that a woman could collect the ksuba from a taplin. There are really two ways how that takana is understood. One is that Jews lived in places where they weren't allowed to own real estate, historically. So if you could only collect the ksuba from a real estate, and Jews aren't allowed to own real estate, so the whole ksuba falls apart. That's one. The other reason is because Chazal, the Tagoyim again, wanted to make it easier for a woman to be able to collect the ksuba. So if we say it's because of the realities that most people own metatlin and not real estate, so that has nothing to do with Alvar. If, however, we say because the Goyim wanted to make it easier for women to collect the ksuba, so just like they make it easier that they said you could collect from metatlin, they also made it easier you could collect from a halva. What's interesting to note is that the halacha is that a husband who yarshins his wife, as we'll learn in today's shir, also has the same halacha, that he doesn't get the shvach, anything that improves after the wife's death, and also anything that's roi nam muchsik. And the question is, why is it not mentioned in the Mishnah? So the Mefarshim respond, because the din of Shvach is only passable by Yarshim, with a number of brothers, and there was an improvement, so that improvement only belongs, that the Bechor doesn't get a double portion. But when we speak about a husband is a sole Yarish, so the Shvach goes to him. So since the Mishnah can't mention the din of Shvach, the Mishnah doesn't mention the din of Roy Kibamuchsik either. There's a very interesting question that was posed to the Chachmei Nevoina, the Chachmei Nevoina Rishonim. A husband dies. His wife is entitled to a ksuba payment, as we just learned. The wife, as is very common the case, never bothered collecting the ksuba. She lived in a deceased husband's home. And now the wife passes away. So now the question is, the estate still owes that money to the woman, to the wife. Now when they're coming to divide the money, the yarshim, do we look at that ksuba money as money that belonged to the mother? And we just learned in the Mishnah that Bechor doesn't get pishnaim in his mother's estate. Or since the estate never paid out that ksuba money, so that's money that was always in the estate, and the Bechor will get a double portion in that portion of money that is designated for the ksuba. So the Chachmei Nevoina paskin like this. They say, if the wife could collect her ksuba payment without doing anything, without a shvua, then it's as if she already has it, and the Bechor wouldn't get pishtayim in that portion of money that's equal to the ksuba payment. But if the wife, in order to be able to get the ksuba, would have had to make a shvur, so that we cannot view it as if she already had the money, it's as if it always is in the father's estate, and the Bechor would get pishnayim. The Rishonim give two pshatim in this. One pshat is, that let's say a husband marries a woman that already has children, and he accepts upon himself to support those girls. The halacha is, and then he passes away, only assets that are there are obligated to that obligation, not something that isn't there now. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that an exuba, there's obligation from a husband to his wife that he will support the daughters that they will have. And again, he dies and he still has those daughters at home. Again, the Mishnah paskens that he only has to give for what? The estate only has to support those girls off assets that are there, not assets that are roy. V'loya yovam, which means as follows. We know that if somebody passes away without children, his wife has to have yibam. As was going to become clear in today's shir in Mitzvah Shem, the halacha is that the yovam gets an extra share of Yerusha. Simple case. Yaakov had three sons, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. And Reuven died without children, and Shimon does yibum in Reuven's widow. So Shimon is a son of Yaakov, but now he's also entitled to an extra portion because he takes over Reuven's position. Very fundamental machlokes rishonim. What does it mean that Shimon is entitled to an extra piece? Does it mean that Shimon now becomes a yoirish of Yaakov? And it means as if Yaakov had three children. Shimon is considered two sons and Levi. Or does Shimon take the place of Reuven, his deceased brother? The nafkamina will be regarding assets that, let's say the father dies after this brother. If he's another brother, it's as if Yaakov had three sons, Shimon is counted twice, then they'll divide the estate in three. If it's that he's taking over his brother's share, then it may have a different halacha altogether. And again, and the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to quote, question this, teaches us, the Mishnah, ein noten b'shvach, they don't get in the improvements, v'loi b'roi ke b'moksik. My Tama, begins the Gemara, Amakra, why only in the father's assets is there a double portion, not in the mother's? Says the Gemara, because the Pasuk says, v'loi mishpat b'chayra, mishpat b'chayra le'ish, only a father do you get a double portion, v'ei mishpat b'chayra le'ish, and not from a mother. Then in Neutel B'Shvach, as we learned, you don't get in what improved, the Ksiv, B'chol Ashi Matzaloi, what was there when he passed away. V'loi B'roi K'v'muchsik, the Ksiv, B'chol Ashi Matzaloi. Again, it has to be in the possession of the estate at the time of death. V'loi Ishi B'Ksubasa, and we learned that Ishi, when she collects the Ksuba, doesn't get from these types of assets either. Ask the Gemara, any which means as follows. Let's say I borrow money from you and you put a lien on my property, which is fine. Then I sell that property to someone else. So there's a lien on that property. And if I don't pay my debt, my loiva could go to that property. So I sold the property. And after I sold the property, the buyer of that property worked on the property and improved the property. And now my loiva comes, because he has a prior lien, to collect the property. The halacha is not only can he collect the property, but he can even collect, he even has the right to take the whole property, even with the improvements that the buyer put into the property. So we see that shvach is included. So why by the ksuba is it not that way? But before we go further, it really is a very difficult Gemara to understand. All the Rishonim are troubled. The buyer, fine. He bought a property that has on it a lien. And when he bought a property with a lien, he knew that there's a chance that he may lose the property. But why should he lose also the money that he put into the property, that he invested into the property? So there are a number of answers given by the Rishonim. Some Rishonim explain that since we're not taking from him his investment. We're taking the property. This is Ramban's teretz. The property happens to be the property happens to have undergone change. But all he's taking, all the loiva is taking is the property. That's why he's entitled to take the whole property. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that the halacha doesn't look at it as if the loiva is taking the property from the buyer. Because the lover and the buyer have no relationship. The buyer is really an extension of the meicher. And with the meicher, the lover does have a valid claim. You owe me this property, you put up a lien. That's why he could take it. And the third pshat that I saw in the Rishayim, which is a concept that comes up very often in Shas, Chazal wanted to encourage people to lend money. And if, when you have a lien on my property, the halacha will be that when you take that property back, you're going to have to deal with the investment in the property. You're never going to want to lend money. That's why in order to encourage lending, Chazal say you take the entire property. What's the raya to this pshat? Because it's an interesting halacha. The halacha is an interesting, very interesting halacha. Let's say somebody stole a property from me. And I am able to get back my property. But the gazlan put money into the property while it was in his possession. I have to repay the gazlan for that money. So you see that we treat the gazlan better than we treat the lekuach. Why? Because we want to encourage lending. So the Gemara asks, so shouldn't we do the same for Isha being able to collect from Ksuba? Amar Abba, Mekuli Ksuba Shanukan. Which the Gemara always means as follows. There's a cloud throughout Shas. Tav Lamesav Tandu Melamesav Armala. Women want to get married. So even though Chazal did institute the concept of a Ksuba, they still realized that women want to get married, and they gave therefore the Ksuba limited power. V'laya Bonisman was in a Seyim. Furthermore, girls, as we gave the two Pshatim in the Mishnah, can't collect their Mezoinus, not Shvach, not Roik, but Mochsik. My Tam, what's the reason? Tanai Ksuba Ksuba. That has the same thing as a Ksuba, as we just explained. And like the Oinig Yontif says, all Ksuba payments are restricted with these restrictions. V'loi ha-yovim. A yovim also doesn't get from shvach or beroik of a mochsuk. Ask the Gemara, my time, why indeed? Answers the Gemara, b'char kai rechmana. The Torah gives the yovim the title of being a b'char, and just like a b'char can't collect this way, neither can a yovim. Amar Abaya, to which Abaya comments, loy shanol b'shvach sheshofchu nechosim bein misliyibim. Let's say the brother died, and then between the misa of the brother and the yibam of this brother, the property goes up in value, that the yavam doesn't get extra shirin. Avod ben yibam l'chaluka, but anything that goes up after the brother has actually performed the yibam, shakel. And that the yavam is entitled to get his extra share, because my tam yokum Hashem achva mesa marchmana. He now fills the shoes of his deceased brother, and if the property goes up, he's an equal Yayush. Rav Amar, Rav says, I feel the ben yibam l'chaluka nami lo shakel. Even if it goes up after the yibam, he isn't entitled to anything extra. My tamik b'char, because the Torah calls him b'char, as we just said a moment ago. Ba b'char ein lo kodem chaluka. Any improvement, the b'char doesn't get a share in it. Af yabam nami ein lo kodem chaluka. So we pointed out when we learned the Mishnah that the Mishnah was sort of repetitive. The Mishnah already told us you don't get Bishvach. Why did the Mishnah repeat it at the end? Answers the Gemara, L'suya Shivchad V'meila. Not only improvements that I had to work for that improvement, but even an improvement that came by itself, and the Gemara gives two examples, Chafuri V'avishibule, if the grain ripened, or Shalfufi V'avitmeri, the fruit developed into date. So maybe, is the Bechor not entitled to the Shvach? When the other brothers, when the estate, when the brothers had to invest into it. But when it came by itself, they ought not to be entitled. He ought to be entitled. They didn't do anything. Teaches us the Mishnah, that no. The Bechor doesn't get double portion in Shvach, ever. The way Rashi explains the Gemara is as follows. We have three generations. Yaakov, no, let's go back. Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Reuven. Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Reuven. And Yaakov dies before his father Yitzchak. So, just because, unfortunately, Yaakov passed away before his father, doesn't mean he loses his share of the Yerusha. His children will get his share. So since that's money that will certainly come to those grandchildren, to Yitzchak's grandchildren, because now they're taking their father Yaakov's place, we would consider it perhaps not roi, we consider it muksik. So says the Gemara, no. Since it wasn't something that was in Yaakov's possession, it's considered roi, and the Bechor doesn't get a double portion. And Rashi goes a step further. Rashi, in trying to help us understand the Gemara. Let's say Yaakov had a brother. Yaakov actually did have a brother, Esav. And Esav didn't have children. So Yaakov would be Esav's Yairish. Because Halacha is, if you don't have children, your brother's your Yairish. So says Rashi, there we could very well understand that Reuven is, that when we look at Yaakov's children getting Esav's estate, getting their uncle's estate, that's considered Roy. Because maybe Esav's going to have children, Esav has children. So that is something that's for sure not necessarily going to come to them. But the Yerusha of their grandfather is certainly going to come to them. So, because their father died and they're taking his place. So maybe we ought to consider it. Muchsik tells us the Gemara, no. Since it wasn't in Yaakov's possession, it's called Roy and not Muchsik. We all know the Halach is that by Yovel, all transactions go back. The subject of our Mishnah and our Gemara Be'ezer Hashem is regarding which transactions does that apply and which does it not apply. Says the Mishnah, Elish Ein Chayzer B'Yovel. These transactions do not go back in Yovel. Habachayra, Vayaris Sishta, the Gemara is going to explain all of these cases. Vavayamis Eishas Ochiv. We just said a Yovam gets an extra share. Vamaton, if somebody gives a gift. Divra Remeya. Vachamayrim, Hamatana Kamechar. A gift is to be treated like a sale. And just like all sales go back, so too do all gifts go back. Rav Elazar disagrees. He says everything that we mentioned in the Mishnah, Kulan Chayzim B'Yovel, goes back in the Yovel year. Rav Yochim Abraikoimer, Hayoyush is Ishtoi Yachsla B'nei Mishpachtoi. As I said at the beginning of this year, a husband Yarshins his wife. Yaakov and Adamim will explain what this means in the Gemara soon. Begins the Gemara, my time to Remeya. Remeya took the view that many transactions don't go back in Yovel. Why? What is the basis for Remeya's opinion? Says the Gemara, Mechuhud Amrechman Allahadr. Only a sale goes back in the Yovel year. Mechuhud Amrechman Allahadr be Yovel. Matana Virusha. Anything in the category of a Matana Virusha, Loi, doesn't go back. Vahani, and all the cases that we just mentioned in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, in Remeya's opinion, the Yerusha, Yerusha, the Matana, and Matana. Some of them are in the category of Yerusha, and some of them are in the category of a Matana. And the Gemara goes through every one of the cases that Remeya discussed. Bechor, the Bechor, since the Torah uses the words losses loy pishnayim, Matana karechmana. Says Remeya, a Bechor getting a double portion is not in the category of Yerusha. It's in the category of a matana. And I saw fascinating vort from the Shaios HaTshuvos Hilchos Ketanos. A very famous Gemara in Masechta Baba Basra. The Gemara Masechta Baba Basra says, Loi tehevi, the one should not participate by vuri echsanta mibra b'yusha l'bra tava. Which means one should never participate in the disinheriting of a child. Why? So the Gemara first of all says, because just like you think that this child is the troublemaker and this one is the good one, you don't know what's going to be in future generations. And the real basis of the Gemara is because the Torah established Hilchos Yerusha. And we, as Torah observant Jews, have to follow what it says in the Torah. Says the Hilchos Ketanos, that what about if a father decided not to write a tzavah, to write a will, a halachic will, that should take away from Bechor his double portion? Is that included in that Gemara? Says the Hilchos Ketanos, that what does our Gemara say? Our Gemara says that a Bechor is not a Yoyrish. A Bechor is getting a gift. When does the Gemara say that you shouldn't change the laws of Yerusha? When it's laws of Yerusha. It's not a law of Yerusha, it's a law of Matana. Furthermore, Vayoyrish is Ishtoi, because says the Gemara, Yerusha is Abal Deraisa. A husband yarshins his wife midaraisa. But I have to repeat here a very famous takana of Rabbeinu Tam. A terrible story. Rabbeinu Tam says, what happens if a couple gets married and within the first year of the marriage, the wife passes away? So we just learned in our Gemara that a husband yarshins a wife. So here you have a father-in-law who gave a very nice nadin, a very nice dowry to his daughter, and his daughter, a terrible tragedy, passes away. And now, this son-in-law, who really was never married barely to his daughter, is going to take that entire dowry. So Rabbeinu Tam made a takana, that if the wife should die within the first year of the marriage, the father gets back the money, not the husband. If you look at Shulchan Aruch and you look in the Paiskim, over the generations there have been different variations of this takana. There's another variation that if she dies in the second year, they divide what the father gave. There's a variation that's up to 3 years, different variations. But the Mefarsh would say a fascinating vart. You look, and we, Baruch Hashem and our Shurim, quote Rishonim all the time. Every Rishon had a name. Rashi, Ri. Rabbeinu Tam's name wasn't Rabbeinu Tam. His name was actually Rabbi Yaakov ben Rameyer, the Rivam. So, how come he's called Rabbeinu Tam? So, the answer is because of this takana. The Pasuk says in the Taichacha, V'tam l'rik kaychachem. What does it mean, tam l'rik kaychachem? A person works and works, accumulates, and then he loses it. Rabbeinu Tam, when he instituted this takana, that a husband doesn't yarshin his wife if she passes away within the first year, added one more word. And if Klal Yisrael will follow this takana, then this won't happen. That's why he's called Rabbeinu Tam, from the Pasuk V'tam l'rik kaychachem. Continues the Gemara. V'yabim es eishes ochev, because b'char kai rechmana. He's considered, like we learned on Amun Aleph, a b'char, and a b'char, according to a mayor, doesn't go back in the yovel yet. Chamayim, the chamayim have held, matana is treated like a mecher, says the Ramai Tamai, the Rabbanan. What is the basis of the Rabbanan's opinion? They say, teshuva, l'rabbis as Hamatana, that teshuva includes a matana. Vahani kula yerushininu, and all the other cases according to Rabbanan are yerusha. Bechor amkra losle pni shnayim makas chelik bechora lechelik poshet. Ma chelik poshet he holds as a yerusha. Af bechelik bechora the Rabbanan holds considered like a yerusha. Rabbi Lazar holds kulam chayzim biyovel. Everything that's mentioned in our Mishnah goes back in Yovel. What is the basis for Rabbi Lazar's opinion? Says the Gemara, Savlok Rabbanan, he agrees with Rabbanan, Da'ama Teshuva L'Rabbis as a Matana, that even a Matana goes back in the Yovel year, V'hani Kula Matana Nenu, and all of the cases mentioned in our Mishnah are considered like a Matana. B'chor, how did we get to that? B'char lost his life pishnayim. Because the Torah, as we just said a moment ago, says the word by B'char lost his life pishnayim, matana kari rechmana. It's considered a matana. What about somebody who yarshins his wife? Yerusha sabal the Rabbanan. Yerusha sabal is only the Rabbanan, and therefore it cannot be considered like a Yerusha, it can be considered like a matana. So there's a gevald gevart from B'charan here, B'charan Vassman. He says, we have a rule, and all of Shas, call the tikkun Rabbanon ke'en deraisa tikkun. So ask Rabbi Chanan, let's think about this Gemara. Yerusha Sabal, Rabbi Lazar's opinion is, it's only the Rabbanon. Fine. Yerusha Sabal is the Rabbanon. Ask Rabbi Chanan, but call the tikkun Rabbanon ke'en deraisa tikkun. By Yerusha, Rabbi Lazar agrees, doesn't go back in Yovel. So why don't we say that Yerusha Sabal should have the same reason, should have the same din, even if it's only midrabbanan? So B'chanan says a beautiful vart. He says, if midaraisa, a husband doesn't yarshin a wife, so how could Rabbanan say that the husband does yarshin the wife? Because we have a rule, hefker, bezdin, hefker. And that's why bezdin could do with your money what they want. What's the halacha with hefker? Hefker goes back in yovel. So the whole basis of Yerusha Sabal is because of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. And what's the halach on Hefker? That it goes back by Yovel. So it must be that Yerusha Sabal also goes back if it's the Rabbanan. The Miyabmas Eishas Ochiv, also because B'char Kai Rechmanah, so it has the same din as a Bechor's portion, that according to Belozer goes back in the Yovel year. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan. This is an issue that comes up very often in Shas. Ha'achen shecholku l'kuch eschein. The halacha is that you have two brothers and the father passed away and they divide the estate. So you have to make some sort of division. So they make a division, a fair division. This brother gets these assets, this brother gets these assets. So there's a famous machlokas throughout Shas. Yesh Breira or Ein Breira. If we say Yesh Breira, it means retroactively this is the way it always was. So if you hold Yesh Breira, these two brothers, when they divided the estate, and this brother got this parcel, and this brother got that parcel, it was theirs from the first moment that the father passed away. If, however, as Rabbi Yochanan does, holds Ein Breira, so what does Ein Breira say? That they had everything. If they had everything, so now, when they divide the estate, they're making a deal. They're actually doing a deal. I really ought to get a piece of everything, you ought to get a piece of everything, but it's not practical, so we'll trade. So ask the Gemara, to our point. Amar Vasi, Amar Yochanan, Ha'achu Shechoku, when brothers divide an estate, L'kuchasein, they're to be viewed as people who are doing a sale, a transaction, and since it's to be viewed as a transaction, they have to go back in the Yovel year. Moser of Oishia asks on that, Rav Oishia, it says in a Braisa, Ve'elin, She'ein Chosen B'Yovel Abachaira. So here we're saying that when Yovel comes, the Yerusha becomes bottle. And here it says it doesn't. Omalei, Rav Lozer, Ma'ein Chosrim, what is the definition? Ein Chosrim, it means Ein Chosrim Levatolah. What does Ein Chosrim Levatolah mean? So Rashi says that they redivide, the estate goes back, but the Bechor still gets his double portion. And that's the same thing with the brothers. It's not that they're not Yorshim, it goes back and they redivide. But there's a very big machloikus achroidim how to understand this Gemara. What actually happens when Yovel? The Pnei Yeshua has a very interesting perspective. He says as follows. What happens by the Yovel year, everything goes back, it's a formality. It's as if everything goes back to ground zero, but everybody ends up with what they started. Other Achroidim disagree with the Pnei Yeshua. And their opinion is that they redivide by Yovel. Yes, the Bechor is going to get his double portion. But now, you know, things change. Real estate location changes. When the father died, maybe one location was better, now a different location is better. They do a new evaluation and new division now. Maskula Rav Sheshes, ask Rav Sheshes Mechlal, the man da'ama Chosrin, the man da'ama that holds Chosrin, does he mean Levatola Kama? That means it becomes completely bottle. Kara Rav Chama led Rav Sheshes, so Rav Chama sent Rav Sheshes, Toiva Chachma im Nachla. It's good to be sharp. Chachma represents sharp. But Nachla represents real estate. You also have to have bekiyas. V'lo shmilei ha, have you not heard the chas, Ravan Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Ramalei Rabbi Lazar, Mishim Rabbi Lazar, Ben Shmur, Chayzrin, indeed, Chayzrin Levatala. Would you have known this price, or you would have asked this question? But, I saw a beautiful vart from the Sefer Taisus Bracha. He says, actually, the Gemara is missing the most important words of that pasuk. The pasuk says, Toiva Chachma Nachla, it's a pasuk in Kehelis, V'yoysa L'royei Shemesh. What does that mean? Rav Sheshes, we know, was blind. Throughout the Gemara says Rav Sheshes was blind. And what the Gemara is saying is a powerful vart. Rav Sheshes, although he was blind, and you would expect a person that's blind wouldn't have much bekiyas. He, even though he was blind, amassed a lot of bekiyas. The Gemara always uses Lashon Saginor. When it says Roi Shemesh, it really means somebody's blind. Somebody who's blind and still has Bekiyas, that's a great individual. So we learned at the end of the Mishnah, Yechman Breik Omer, Hayaris is Ishto, Yachs Lebnei Mishpacha. Ask the Gemara, what does the Mishnah say, as we pointed out when we learned the Mishnah? Mikasov, what does the Mishnah mean to say here? Ikas of Yerusha Sabal, the Raisa, if the Mishnah says, if the Mishnah holds that what a husband Yarshins is Midaraisa, so it became his. So why should he give it back to her family? Amayach Lebne Mishpacha. Vikas of, if on the other hand, the Mishnah is of the opinion, Yerusha Sabal is the Rabbanon, so Dami Mayavedite, why is there any money given back? He has to give it back because it's not his. Answers the Gemara, Loyalum Kasav Yerusha Sabal the Raisa. The Mishnah holds Yerusha Sabal the Raisa, and therefore he's entitled to keep what he yashin from his wife. The Hachav Ma'iskina, what is the Mishnah referring to? Kigon Shirish the Ishta Beis HaKfaris. His wife owned the Beis HaKfaris. She was the owner of a cemetery, a family plot. And now, it's a Pagam Mishpacha that if this outsider is only married to the woman, owns the family plot. So the Mishnah is teaching us that they get back that cemetery. But, Amar Rabbanan, Lishkol Dami, it's his money. So they have to pay. And Leheder, and he has to give him back the cemetery. So Tosfos asks, we understand the concept of Pagam Mishpacha very well. People are sensitive. But if there's a concern for Pagam Mishpacha, asks Tosfos, so why is it Bar Yovel here? It should have been the day he died. The day that she died and he yarshed. So Tosfos says, the day she died and he yarshed her, it isn't so noticeable. But when it comes to Yovel year, we don't even have a understanding of this. You lived in a house for 50 years, and it comes Yovel, you move out, and it goes back to an owner. And it was a whole world, it was a whole turnover. And everybody's returning assets back and forth. And this family is left with their cemetery in another family. That's when the Pagam Mishpacha is most noticeable. That's when Chazal said he should give back the cemetery, but he gets his money back. Uketanya, as indeed there's a Braisa, we learned the Gemara Masechet Bava Basra. Hamaycha Kivrei V'Derech Kivrei, if somebody sells the cemetery and the path to the cemetery, Makam Amadai, they used to make Mamadas, they used to stop a number of times on the way to the funeral, or Beis HaSpeda, they used to have a place where they made the Hesped, Boim B'nei Mishpacha V'Koyim Sabal Karchai. The family could demand that he get the cemetery, they get back their place, Mishum Gam Mishpacha. So if so, what's Yinak Limin Adomim? Says the Gemara Demei Kever Ishtai, which means as follows. The husband yashins the cemetery that his wife owned. They have to pay him for the cemetery, but they can deduct the value of her grave because it is the husband's obligation to pay for his wife's burial. So for that, he should be held responsible. There's a number of very interesting points to make here. Number one, the Ramah, quote, it's actually Machlokes Rishonim, and the Ramah quotes both opinions. The Ramah says, what happens if there's a seat in the shul? In olden times, a seat in the shul was a real asset. And somebody needed the income and sold that seat. And that seat wasn't in a family for many years. Could the family members demand that the customer sell them back that seat? Again, with the concept of Begam Mishpacha, it's a Machlokes Rishonim. And Ramah seems to say you have to look if there's a real Begam Mishpacha. And if there is, the halacha is they could demand that the buyer sell him back the seat. The Meshech Chachma says, with this we could understand, the Torah, Parashas Chayesara, discusses how Avraham Avinu bought the cemetery from Ephraim. And the Torah keeps on repeating, Le'ene B'nei Ches. Why was Avraham Avinu, asked the Meshech Chachma, so concerned that everybody in town should know about this transaction? He said, because all the people in town were relatives. And Avraham Avinu was concerned that they're going to say, you can't buy the cemetery, there's a Pagam Mishpacha. So he was careful, it should be Le'ene B'nei Ches, that they all knew and accepted the transaction and wouldn't be able to come back and say it's a Pagam Mishpacha that you bought our cemetery. But that is a very interesting discussion amongst the Paiskim. The Shulchan Aruch, the Halacha, the Shulchan Aruch takes a very, very serious view against Pinu Yakever, meaning exhuming a body once it's buried. Under very extreme circumstances, is the halacha that a body could be exhumed. What is the example that the Shulchan Aruch says you may do it? To bury a child next to his parents. But the Paiskim, the Knesset Yecheskel, the Chassam Sofer, the Sri Deyesh, have a discussion. If it's not to bury him next to his parents, him or her, it's to bury with the rest of the family, to be buried in a family plot. Is that also a good enough reason to do, to exhume a body? The Knesset Yecheskel, based on our Gemara, and so the Chassam Sofer, say, yeah, we see in our Gemara, the concept of Gam Mishpacha, that the entire family should be buried together. The Sri Deyesh disagrees. The Sri Deyesh says two reasons why our Gemara is not a Raya. Our Gemara is not talking about burial. Our Gemara is talking about buying back a cemetery. Nobody's dead. They just want to get their cemetery back into the family. That doesn't mean that you're allowed to exhume a body. Furthermore, the case that our Gemara is talking about is nobody's buried yet. So it's coming to bury a person. So there's a concept of Begam Mishpacha that he should be buried together with the rest of his family. You're talking, says the Sri Deyesh to the Knesset Yecheskel, where the person was already buried and you want to take him out. That is only for a voice of, not for any other family member. But in Mitzvah Shem, the Pais can say, why is there such an inyan to be buried together with the rest of your family? What's the difference? So the Mefarshim say, because we all believe in Tchiyas HaMesim, and when Mashiach comes, and there's going to be Tchiyas HaMesim, who do you want to meet first? You want to meet your family. That's why you should be buried in family, and we should all be Zoichet Tchiyas HaMesim. Harun Lach Yesh Bechor, Harun Lach Yesh Bechor, Harun Lach Yesh Bechor.